This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to the second episode of our four-part series on increasing your fitness. Today, we are going to be going into the 10 methods to increase your fitness. Now, these are all kinds of different training methods and nutrition protocols that will help you to improve your fitness. If you've done any kind of fitness training in the past, you may have done some of these methods before, but maybe you probably haven't done all of them. So there's going to be definitely something in there which is going to definitely help out your training and help out your fitness. Now, before we jump into today's episode, one big component of training and going to the gym in 2020, whether you're a fan or not, obviously I'm a huge fan, but manscaping or male grooming has become a huge thing. I think with the focus on aesthetics in the fitness industry and just the way our world is heading, we are getting less and less hair on our bodies. As you know, as guys, as women, obviously the standards pretty strict there, as it seems to be, at least in Western culture. That same standard is being forced upon men, so much so that in a research study, or sorry, a survey, I should say, 85% of women preferred men that were manscaped. That is significant. That is significant. If you would ask me what you thought the percentage was, I would say probably like maybe like 40-50%. Look, it basically just means if you're in a relationship, your girl hasn't told you, there's an 85% chance that she would prefer if you didn't have any hair below your waistline. So there's some amazing grooming tools from Manscaped. They got the Lawnmower 3.0, which is their flagship product. It has skin-safe technology, so it will not nick you, which is obviously the most important thing. Getting a cut down there is just not fun for anyone. It is waterproof. It's got an LED light. It's got a really long charge. It's just an amazing product. Doesn't need batteries or anything. Obviously, because it's waterproof, you can just clean it straight after, so like, it doesn't get filthy. And it comes with all the amazing creams. You actually just have, finally, just a whole range of products which don't do unisex. They're not like girls' products and guys' products, and you don't really know if this is a guy smell or a girl smell. All the creams, all the gels, the sprays, the ball toner, the ball wipes, all that sort of stuff. It just smells like cool man shit. And that's the most important thing. So
that's the way you want it to smell.
100%. So if you guys are interested in getting a hygiene pack, that is what I would recommend. And obviously, doing a favor for the missus or your boyfriend, or really just anyone,
or potential partners.
Yeah, or anyone who's going to see it. You need to go to manscaped.com. Our code is MMP, and that's going to get you 20% off any of the products. So again, manscaped.com. And then if you use the code MMP, that's going to get you 20% off. Okay, so first of these 10 methods. The first one we've got here is the tempo method. Notorious for being one of the most painful of all the methods.
Yeah, I think it was... how long do you think we've been incorporating tempo training properly for us?
Well, Yami first did it with like the back squats. Yeah, that was like the worst of it. When so for those of you who don't know what tempo training is, well, tempo is just a word for the essentially the concentric, so the positive part of the movement, the pause after that, the eccentric part of the movement, and then the negative. So basically, there's four components to that. So there's four numbers which you can alter, or four time domains which you can alter. So if you think about a bicep curl, okay, if I've got a straight arm starting and I'm curling the weight up, that first part is the concentric movement. At the top of the bicep curl, it's the peak of the bicep being squeezed. That is the next time domain. And then the lowering is the third time domain. And then the pause at the bottom with the straight arm before the next rep is the fourth time domain. So you can say like if tempo was 2-2-2-2, that would be a 2-second pause at the bottom, 2 seconds on the way up, 2-second hold at the top, 2 seconds on the way down. Now, with tempo training, basically the two areas at which you can pause in the movement are zero. So you do not pause in those movements. So what it means, it's like constant tension on the muscle. And what you're doing is you're matching the concentric with the eccentric. So the time you take to come up in a movement is the same time you take to go down. And that's probably the most undertrained tempo. Most people are fast on the way up, right? Slow and controlled on the way down. There's nothing wrong with that. But for the studies and the research on tempo training, you are eliciting the greatest kind of fitness or endurance adaptation in the muscle with this method. So we did, I don't know, was it 3030 or 2020?
We would do, 2020 for around 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So obviously do the maths on it, that's 10 repetitions, right?
Yeah.
So if you do a set of 10, it should take exactly 40 seconds, two down, two on the way up. And then we'd rest around 40 seconds, go straight back into it again.
Oh, so painful. Mm. Yeah, but look, if you can, if you want to, I mean, it's short, right? It doesn't go for very long. You only do like 3 or 4 sets, but the amount of pump that you get, it's like getting a really, really big pump with your heart exploding out your chest. It is really difficult, but it's one of the best ways to increase the endurance in your muscles. So what essentially what's happening on a more microscopic level is you're creating more mitochondrial density. So the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, and you're increasing the number of those units and making them more efficient as well inside of the muscle. So you're increasing your muscle's capacity to just contract over and over and over again. So that is the reason that you'd be using the tempo method. And if just anyone's used it in general, yeah, it just feels like the most savage combination of strength work or kind of like resistance training and cardio at the same time. So getting your heart rate up and you're getting a massive pump as well. And that's a great way to increase your fitness if you haven't done it. It's in, we use it a lot in Project Body. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Number two is high and low days. And we're talking about intensity here. So this was made probably most famous by Charlie Francis, who was a sprint coach. And I think he was the coach of Ben Johnson.
Yep.
Obviously it was doping, but regardless of the doping, was very, very fast. And probably the biggest mistake for most people here is just doing too much of the high.
Mm.
So I think the protocol he had was like high. So 1 day high, 2 days low, 1 day high, 2 days low, off day. So if you look at it broadly, it's only 2 high days in a week, 4 low days. Now, obviously he's working more with sprinters, but it's going to depend on the sport. People have used that protocol across tons of sports, more like field sports, where there's way more endurance as well. But the point of it is just you're almost definitely going to be doing more lower intensity work than you are higher intensity work. And that is a principle across the board.
Yeah. I like to just summarize. I mean, obviously, it's more complicated than just high days and low days. But just in a simple way, you should just think about your training in a more general sense like that. Say, okay, I'm going to put in a couple high days a week. And then the other days, they should be low days. So they should be low intensity. They should not be moderate intensity. They should not be moderate to high intensity. They should not be high intensity. They are low for a reason. They're recovery days. And we've spoken to OPT James Fitzgerald at length about these. And yeah, he's a massive fan of very few high days in the week. He actually got it to the point where he was one high day a fortnight. That's what he found as the best protocol. And the rest of your conditioning days are low. So yeah, it just really speaks to the fact that our bodies are just not meant to do a lot of high intensity.
Yeah, and even when we had Matt Fitzgerald on the podcast, he was the author of a lot of endurance books, and he just brought out a book on running specifically. And I believe his protocol in there was 80% of the top runners, 80% of their work is at a low intensity. So obviously they are probably much faster than you if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So it looks like high intensity, but for them it's low intensity. And then it's 20% is making up the high and moderate.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is most people probably do 60% at moderate intensity.
Yeah.
And some high, some low. So maybe you're not doing that much high. Maybe you're just doing a lot of moderate. And if you're doing it every day, it probably is moderate because you can't actually do high every day. You break down. So potentially, yeah, your high intensity is not high enough and your low intensity is not low enough. Okay, number three is LSD circuit. So this is not LSD the drug. This is long, slow distance
training. That's in the next episode. Yeah,
that's just number 4.
That's non-training tools to increase endurance. That was last week as a bonus.
Long, slow distance circuit. So LSD has got more popular probably like the last 10, 12 years after everyone realized you can't just do high intensity every day.
Mm.
But this is just a way to like mix it up because obviously long and slow is amazing. It's amazing for your heart. It's amazing for your recovery. But the biggest problem with it is you often end up just getting overuse injuries because you're doing it for a long period of time. So if you can put together circuits that just probably keep it interesting for you in your mindset and also stop you just hammering away at like your feet or the structures around your knee, and you can break up those movements, still get all the benefits of the long, slow distance training, but break up the movements, you get a lot of the benefits without the downsides.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can... So I think when people think about LSD training, they think about just sitting on a bike and just cruising. They think about, you know, just going out for a light run for a long time or a long walk. But you can actually, Joel Jameson is actually a massive fan of using basically anywhere from 10 to 15 different exercises for his LSD training. Because what you're doing is you're getting so much more range of motion, so much more movement and contractions of different muscles through the joints. It's probably not the best thing to just kind of sit there in a hunch posture on a bike and just chip away for an hour in that position. You're getting a lot of pull in your blood in your legs, but you're not getting a lot in your lower back. You're not getting a lot in your core. You're not getting as much, you know, in your upper back, in your arms, and your shoulders. So if you can make really long circuits, put 10, 15 exercises in there, you'll actually find like Raf said, really interesting. You're not overusing any joints or any muscles in particular. And I think just the recovery stimulus and the fitness stimulus you're getting is even better. And I think you kind of learn at those low intensities as well some interesting stuff. Like, for example, when we've done these before and I've incorporated like skipping or something, I notice, wow, on these LSD circuits, my legs, they feel amazing the whole time, but my shoulders are burning out and I'm barely doing anything for my shoulders. And it just kind of maybe highlights some areas that you're not really paying attention to at high intensities because it's just so intense the whole time that it's like, I need to think about strengthening my shoulders here. Mm. I need to think about some more maybe shoulder accessory work, because even at these low intensities, which is some skipping and some push-ups and maybe some single arm bridges, like my shoulders are burning out pretty badly.
Yeah, and what's good about these circuits is the way we did in the past, we would add in stuff we know we needed extra work on. So for some stuff, it even could be mobility exercises, because you can, you know, particularly if you're stiff as me, some exercises that are just normal exercises can become a bit of mobility. It's getting extra time in there. It can be like core work. It can be like weak points. It can be just things that you know your technique is average on, and this is a great opportunity to do a ton of reps at a good technique. Man, it can even just be as simple as like, I'm just doing body weight lunges, and now it's a good opportunity to nail them.
Yeah.
And get really good foot stability, really good glute activation, and do the best lunges you can time and time again.
Yeah.
Without the pressure of weight or intensity.
Yeah.
Okay, number four, nasal breathing only. So this is only breathing through the nose. Your mouth is completely shut during a workout.
Mm, yeah. I mean, if you can't do 90% capacity without 90% capacity only breathing through your nose, you have room to improve. I can do it. I've spent time building it up. I've probably started around 70%, but yeah, I can get 90% of some of my best times on rowers, bikes, running, just breathing through my nose. And it's just a skill you have to develop, but it's just what you need for a good aerobic system, for good fitness.
Yeah, and probably what you find is that some movements will come easier than others. I know when I tried this, like on the bike, I could get it pretty quickly, but I still find it really hard with running. Like almost straight away, I'm like ripping the tape off my mouth to do it. And I do encourage
you... Well, you do it with the tape on your mouth?
Yeah, of course. Don't worry. Socially, it's not a problem for losing all friends. But yeah, I would recommend the tape. Just because you can do it. You can definitely do it without the tape. You definitely can train it. It's just that when your mind wanders, you often will sneak in a breath or two throughout the mouth. Put the tape on over your mouth. It's not dangerous as long as your nose can breathe freely. And you just don't need to think about it then. And you can do a full nasal breathing session. And that will often become LSD, because that's generally going to be a slightly lower intensity session.
You know what's interesting though? Like, I've never ever thought that I've needed tape. You know, I think maybe that speaks to like being better at nasal breathing. You probably don't need tape. And I'd say it could probably be, because I'm imagining people listening to this right now that are probably really fucking hesitant to put tape on their mouth and go for a run. But it may be a useful tool in the gym in the beginning, just to kind of get used to it. But as you get better, you probably don't need the tape, because not ever once have I like gone out for nose breathing only and taken a breath through my mouth. Like I can keep it shut pretty comfortably. And I think that probably just speaks to the level of comfort potentially.
Yeah, as you get better. It also is helpful if your training partner won't shut the fuck up, then you just can't even respond if you got the tape on. So different ones. But yeah, you can expect to get some very, very strange looks. And some people, I've noticed, I did this in the gym, they still would speak to me. I'm like, how do you expect me to respond? I'm dead serious. Like, this guy would walk up on the airbag, like, how much longer? I can't speak.
You'd wear the tape in your mouth in a public
gym.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Amazing.
It's pre-COVID, it was fine. Probably now,
no, dude, you have a mask on. Now you can wear a mask in the gym. It's socially appropriate. True. And you just tape as much as you want. No. There you go, salt. Silver lining,
like,
bro.
Why can't you speak? okay, skill number five, skill efficiency and skill days.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love this one, because so many people just burn out because they don't have a skill that they're trying to train in some kind of workout. Like, probably the most obvious one in CrossFit gyms is double unders, right? Mm. Skipping. You can get so tired learning double unders. Now, if you put that in with deadlifts and running and pull-ups, whatever, that's a recipe for disaster. Absolute disaster.
If you're learning, yeah. If you're as good as Matt Fraser, it doesn't matter. But yeah. If you're not, it's a disaster.
Like, that's why some of the best runners when you go out for a run, even though you've run before in your life, you haven't run in a while, why is running so fatiguing? It's just because you haven't practiced the skill in a long time. That's what makes it so tiring. You know what? The guys that are out there running every single day, so like if you take 100% of your focus, when you are running again for the first time, you are probably putting 95% of that focus into your technique, like how the ground feels, how you're moving, how your stride feels, how you're breathing, how you hold your arms. Everything just feels awkward because you're just like trying to relearn the skill of running. Now, if you show up, you know, a month later and you've been running regularly, when you go out for a run, you don't think about anything. You're just thinking about trying to hold a pace. Like your technique is just dialed. So all of that focus, all that brain capacity is now not being chewed up and all that energy wasted on thinking about the skill. So that applies to any skill that you do that involves with fitness. So literally just getting better at the skill, learning the skill more, practicing the skill, putting the reps in. That is the thing that's going to improve your fitness so much because you're just not putting as much energy and focus into trying to do things better.
Number six is carbohydrate loading and intra-workout. Obviously, if you are, unless you're doing very, very long and slow training, then very likely you're going to be burning carbohydrates. That is like your fuel source. And endurance training, the fuel source is much more important than, you know, when we're doing Project Body and Project
Strong.
Like we're not really talking about nutrition to really improve your lifts. Only just to really improve your body composition, mostly. Yeah. But when it comes to endurance, yeah, often you're not really caring about your body composition that much. You're really talking about your performance. And this is where carbohydrates is obviously the number one factor you're playing with. If you've, I think a lot of people that do functional fitness have like really forgotten about carbohydrates during training. I don't know why. It's just like not popular. I think just because the time domain is a bit shorter. But I think now that like you see more like, I don't know, like marathon stuff at the CrossFit Games, people getting more into it. I noticed that gym people are more like doing half marathons on the ski erg. Yeah, like people are doing that shit. You know, it's just like, I don't know, it's become more popular recently.
More half marathons on the ski.
I just think people have forgotten about intra-workout carbohydrates. Any runner is doing this stuff. Like, you know, it just gets forgotten in a functional fitness gym. If you've never tried a energy gel, man, you get a boost. Like, it's an unbelievable boost. It's a much more of a boost than having caffeine during an endurance session. You know, you have caffeine in the middle of a long run. It's not going to do much. But you have some carbohydrates and you're an hour and a bit into something. Yeah, it really, really helps. Even half an hour, you can use it and athletes will use some. So if you've never tried it before, intra and pre-carbohydrates really makes a difference.
Yeah, I think to that caffeine point then, one story comes to mind. There was a guy I was connecting with, you know, on Instagram, a year ago. And he was asking for my advice because he's like, hey, you know, I train in the evenings. I have a really busy day at work. I get to the gym and I'm just so tired that I have to take pre-workout to get through my sessions. But then I'm so stimulated from what's in the pre-workout that I have a really good session. I finish it and I can't get to sleep for ages.
And then you're even more tired the next day. So exactly. You need more pre-workout.
So it's a self-perpetuating cycle. So I explained that to him and he goes, yeah, I know it kind of makes sense, but I don't know what to do about it. And I go, okay, well, tell me what you're eating. And he kind of told me what we're eating. I'm like, well, you haven't eaten anything 5 hours before your training session. I was like, what I want you to do, I want you to figure out what 100 grams of carbohydrates is in your local convenience store. Like, what's the most convenient way to do it? He's like, oh, probably the gas station on the way to the gym. I go, okay, figure out how you can get 100 grams of carbohydrates in before that session. Because he was telling me about the session. It was a monster session, right? It was like an hour of just like hammering strength and conditioning. I go, you're going to need 100 grams of carbohydrates before the session. So he had a Gatorade, a banana, and like these oat bars or something, right? So he'd have that combination. It was roughly around 80 to 100 grams. And he messaged me like a week later and he goes, not only am I actually finally getting to sleep on time, but my sessions are better. He goes, I don't feel like cracked out like I'm on pre-workout, but I actually can go longer and go harder. I can lift more. And I go, bro, it's because you're fueling yourself properly. Most people are not fueling themselves correctly for fitness. So you absolutely will, you'll change so much before I go and do a big session. That's like the first thing I do. I go, okay, I need to get like 50 grams of carbs in me, minimum.
Yeah, and I want to add, so the if you Google and you look at like how much like intra-workout carbs do I need and how much pre, all the numbers are too low. And that's because it's all from endurance athletes. Endurance guys weigh like 64 kilos.
Yeah.
Right? They are tiny and they carry no muscle. The numbers are totally different if you've like spent your life doing strength training and now you're getting into endurance training. And that's why you'll notice with like top CrossFit athletes now, like they take way more intra way earlier than an endurance athlete does because they're like lugging around so much more muscle. Obviously glycogen is stored in muscles, so you just burn hot, you know, you just burn way more carbs. So you probably need more than you think.
Yeah definitely. 50 is the minimum. Like I don't even feel bad if I had 100. As long as you give yourself time to digestion, you have enough water, does wonders.
Number seven, relaxation and tension check-ins.
Yeah, this is basically just a mental training tool to increase your fitness. Now, one of the things that you observe from a coaching perspective when you coach a lot of people doing fitness is you realize, and this is kind of something you'll teach yourself as an athlete, and you've kind of first learned it on the coaching floor, is how much wasted tension. Every time there's unnecessary tension in fitness, like that muscle that's tensing, that is requiring energy. It's taking up energy.
That includes your eyebrows.
Everything, right? And I mean, it's only a minimal amount of energy, but if you can kind of learn the techniques of tension and relaxation where you need it, then you can conserve a lot of energy. Now, what's interesting is this applies to all performance. Very, very high level performance, there is always a massive amount more relaxation than what people realize. Mm. If you look at the best sprinters in the world, if you were to say, okay, I want you to run your fastest 100 meters ever, you'll create so much tension through your body to the point that you'll actually be slower than if you were more relaxed. The best fighters in the world, the best sprinters in the world, the best boxers in the world, whatever, they all have a really, really high level of relaxation to their performance, because they know that there's always unnecessary tension. I mean, probably the only exceptions I could sort of think of would be like powerlifting and weightlifting.
Yeah, just because there's no pacing.
Yeah, that's because it's like one all-out thing. But anything that lasts longer than like 10 seconds, 30 seconds, there is an element of needing to relaxation to conserve energy if you're not trying to go all out. And that even applies to sprinting, right? Sprinting's longer than that. It goes for, 9 seconds, 8 seconds. There needs to be a level of relaxation. You watch the best sprinters in the world from that kind of front-on angle, and you can see their face is fully relaxed, even to a degree like some elements of their upper body is relaxed as they're running, because they need to conserve the energy. They need to get into kind of that flow in it. Being in swimmers as well, there's a lot of relaxation that goes on. So really how it applies to you is you need to check in with yourself mentally when you're doing an exercise and go, where is there unnecessary tension? Am I gripping the floor too hard with my toes? Am I squeezing my butt too hard? Am I tensing my face too hard? That's obviously a really common one. Another one is people, they rarely do things with completely locked out joints. So some people, I'll give you an example. Say like a push press, for example. Some people, when they do a push press, they never lock their arms all the way out. So they're keeping tension in their tricep, bicep, shoulders. If you lock out and you can learn to relax up there, you can conserve energy. Mm. There's just small little things like this. So as you go through your training, that's what you want to observe. Observe where there's unnecessary tension, and you'll notice how it starts to save your energy as you begin to relax.
Okay, number eight. This is the foundation of endurance training. You will expect a lot of this on the Project Fitness program. Intervals.
Yes.
Work to rest ratios, really.
Yeah. I like this just because, I mean, obviously everyone knows intervals these days. I just felt like they needed their own place just to be spoken about the importance of them. The main thing that you really want to think about with intervals and why they're necessary is because, and James Fitzgerald is really big on this, is you don't want to train fitness tired. And I know that sound makes no sense. Like when I do fitness, I get tired. No, you don't. The movements that you're practicing, you don't want to do them under heavy fatigue and get tired at those movements, because then you're just practicing being tired. What intervals allows you to do is to maintain your best for longer. So it's like, okay, what is my best performance look like here? What is good posture, good breathing, good form, good technique, really pushing my body? And then right at that point where the fatigue really starts to kick in and everything starts to go to shit, you stop and you rest and you recover. And that's what you're trying to do. You're just trying to extend that window of really good performance to longer and longer and longer. And that's what intervals is. It's just allowing your body to rest so you can recover and maintain the form and come back and do it. Like if you're just sloppy the whole time, you're not going to improve. You need the intervals in there to improve different aspects. So yeah, and then there's just obviously just different equations of increasing the work, increasing the rest, reducing the work, all those sorts of things. But the general philosophy behind intervals is that exactly, to maintain that ability to produce really, really good fitness, really good form, really good work for extended periods of time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like in intervals, it can be so different, because you can do intervals all the way from like 10 seconds on, like a few minutes off, all the way up to, like an hour on, 20-minute break, an hour on, and they all have really important uses.
Yeah.
Okay, number nine, this is actually plays in well to what Lockie was just talking about, is postural strength, sandbag carries.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I put sandbag carries in there because it's probably the most accessible way for people to train, or really any carry, like sandbag, dead ball, kettlebells. Big part of fitness is posture, being able to maintain posture. And what ties really closely into posture is your diaphragm, is your breathing. If you have a really poor posture, if you have really weak diaphragm, things start to kind of fold in on themselves really quickly, and anything attached to that core, so your arms, your legs, your neck, your head, whatever, you start to lose the ability to control them, and they start to fatigue. So it really does all come down to that spinal stability, that ability to maintain a good position. And you've got to train that. It doesn't just come from doing deadlifts and back squats, and those things help, but to have good fitness, to good endurance in your posture. It's like when someone goes out for a run and they run and they're nice and erect, they're nice and upright, the head sitting on their shoulders, and then they start to fatigue, and you see them at the end of their run and their head is like swiveling side to side. Their chin is like trying to tag each shoulder every rep, and you can see them just more hunched over, and you can see their arms are swinging across their body. That's an example of running. Obviously, it's all different things, but maintaining that posture is just so important. Think about like a Rich Froning, Matt Fraser. Think about them through the whole workout. Their posture is so strong. They very rarely have to put their hands on their knees because they have such good breathing mechanics. They have such strong posture, and that is built through heavy carries. So one way you can do that, load up a heavy sandbag, load up a light sandbag, front rack kettlebells, whatever it is, and just go out walking under, like, try and really fatigue your posture to the point that you have to drop it or you have to take a break. And just keep doing that over and over again, build it into your warm-ups, build it into your cool-downs. You notice a big difference in your ability to kind of maintain your posture and improve your fitness.
Yeah, and it goes for the whole body. You know, people even work on, say, their foot strength, their feet strength, and working on the posture of their feet in endurance. Because very often, like, you might have strong feet for the first 20 minutes, weak feet later, and that's when you start to get the injury. That's why most injuries will be, you know, towards the end of a session or the end of a game. So you might even be working on your foot posture or your foot strength so you can maintain a good posture through your feet. And, you know, it goes for all parts of the body.
Yeah.
Once you lose it, yeah, you're done. Okay, final one, number 10, auto regulation.
Yeah, so this last part, auto regulation is a huge part of strength training, huge part of bodybuilding training. You know, this at this RPE, this at that RPE. And it's definitely had its place in endurance and fitness for a while, but I don't think it's applied quite as, it's not as individualized, it's not taken as seriously on a daily basis as it should for fitness. Some reason for fitness, it's just kind of like, get in there and just go as hard as you fucking can. It doesn't matter like how tired you are, what's going on in your life. Like, I just want you to smash it today. And that's really bad. Like, you need to auto-regulate your recovery. Now, having a device like a Whoop is amazing because obviously we can go in there and we can be like, okay, today's not really my day. I'm at like 4% recovery. I'm just going to take it easy, and you self-regulate there. But that's someone who is obviously invested in a Whoop, is wearing a Whoop, knows that recovery technology. But most people, they just try and go as hard as they can, no matter how their body is feeling. But for some reason, when it comes to strength, you're like, I just don't really feel that strong today. I'm just going to take the weight down a little bit, but I'm going to smash this workout. No, the same principles apply to a workout as well. Just because it has 21, 15, 9 front squats, burpees over the bar, if you really feel tired, if you're not feeling it today, drop the weight down and go slow. You don't have to hammer the workout. You just move your way through it. Just breathe, break up the sets more than you would, go slow on the burpees, auto-regulate fitness. Auto-regulating fitness is just as important as auto-regulating strength.
Yeah, and I mean, I think sometimes it's because there's a mental side of things. You get scared that if you do endurance slowly, like, you're getting soft on it. But I mean, that's just like, it's just basically a recipe to burning out or getting injured. You've got to have lower days and higher days, and you've got to not always just follow exactly what's on the training plan and kill yourself trying to stick to the training plan.
Yeah.
Fitness, I think, is probably one of the easiest ones to regulate. Because there is such a variation in what you can do. You know, you can be going all the way from a walk to trying to set a PR on your run time. And everywhere in that, depending on how you slept and how you recovered, might be right for you the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, some days, whatever's written on the board sometimes, all right, maybe a walk is better for me right now.
It's better than zero. I really think with endurance training, more often with endurance training, doing something is usually better. And that could be a walk on your running program.
Yeah. Because you can take it down to a walk, yes, or like a slow cycle.
The spectrum is so large.
It is large. So there you go, guys. 10 methods to increase your fitness. I'll go over them again. It's the tempo method, high and low days, long, slow distance circuits, nasal breathing only workouts, skill efficiency and skill days, carbohydrate loading, and intra-workout carbohydrates, a relaxation and tension check-in, intervals, postural strength, and then auto-regulation. So like I said at the start of this episode, we are releasing Project Fitness. It's going to be out later this month. It's going to supplement Project Strong and Project Body, go into complete our three project programs, so strength, body composition, and fitness. Now, if you're already on the app, you can just like switch if you want over to Project Fitness. If you're a first timer, there'll be a 7-day free trial. You go to the waiting list at themindmuscleproject.com/fitness. So themindmuscleproject.com/fitness to go on the waiting list there, and you'll obviously be the first to know when doors open up to join Project Fitness. I'm really excited for this program. And then, of course, at the start of the episode, guys, 85% of females said that they prefer guys that are manscaped. So if you want to basically get the best manscaping tool, it's waterproof, shockproof. It's skin safe technology, which is very, very important for guys. You can go to manscaped.com. Our code is MMP, and that's going to get you 20% off. I recommend starting with the hygiene pack. That's what I have, and that has everything that you need. So check it out at manscaped.com. All right, guys. Thanks so much, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.